We are 1 week from opening day, and today on Locked On Twins, we're going to talk about some of the recent moving and shaking the Twins have done, and then look into some of the projections for this team before we move on to your questions to wrap things up. So sit back, buckle up, and get comfortable. Locked On Twins starts now.
You are Locked On Twins, your daily Minnesota Twins podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Well, hello and welcome back to Locked On Twins, part of the Locked On Sports Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Brandon Warren, and today we're going to talk about projections. And as you may tell, we are not in the home office, the Bozo Studios, if you will. We are in Minot, North Dakota, and we finally have good enough internet to stream. So I'm very excited to be coming back to you after a little bit of time off. Now, as a reminder, please, please, please feel free to hang out in the comments below this video on YouTube. I'm going to do my best to hang out down there and chat with you all. So come hang out with me, ask questions, and we'll have a whole lot of fun. Secondly, if you have questions you'd like to see answered on the show, which we're going to do for the next week here still in the third segment of the show, don't hesitate to ask. That is, send them to me on Twitter, email, however you know to get a hold of me. Shoot me a comment. We'd love to hear from you and chat in the third segment with whatever questions you have. Now, with that said, today we have a very fun new sponsor. It's Game Time. If you download the Game Time app and go to the app and use the code LOCKEDONMLB, you can get $20 off your first order on last-minute tickets. It's the lowest price guaranteed. They have tickets for concerts, sports, theater, you name it. If you want to go somewhere at the last second, this is going to be your best bet. So download the Game Time app, create an account, and go Locked On MLB, and they'll get you $20 off your first order. So let's dive into the business of the day. And actually, it's the last couple of days here because we didn't get a chance to bring you a show yesterday, again, due to streaming issues, which I hope have been resolved here as I'm on the road. The Twins have, in the last 2 days, reassigned, and I'll just read off the list, pitchers Randy Dobnak and Brock Stewart and Oliver Ortega, catchers Jair Camargo, David Banuelos, and Grayson Grenier, infielders Andrew Bechtold, Elliot Soto, Tyler White, and outfielders Mark Contreras and Ryan Lemaire. So as of this recording, the Twins still have 39 players in camp, seven of the non-roster variety, 21 pitchers, three catchers, six infielders, nine outfielders, and two players on the injured list, the 60-day, that is. No real surprises here. You look at maybe, you know, we had a question about Oliver Ortega possibly making the team a few days ago, but really felt like he was on the outside looking in. The thing I'm going to be curious about now is that open 40-man spot based on the departure of Dennis Santana. Will that go to someone like Willie Castro, or will it go to someone like Jeff Hoffman? Now, will they do more maneuvering and maybe open up another spot is what also remains to be seen. But right now, what we're looking at too is the Twins announced in the last day or two that Alex Kirilloff and Jorge Polanco will begin this season on the injured list. So what that's going to mean is they're going to need another position player. So if they had plans of someone like Jeff Hoffman making the team, which I kind of thought they did, those might either be put in the ringer, or it might mean that they put a guy like Matt Cantorino on the 60-day IL to open up a spot, but start his service clock and start giving him service time and a big league contract and all that stuff that goes with it. With the type of pitcher he is and at his age, that might be a relatively reasonable gamble because the blowout factor there is somewhat high. But with that said, maybe they have another move up their sleeve, but unless they can find a way to do that, I don't know what they're going to do to get a guy like Hoffman in the bullpen. So will they be more creative? Will they have Bailey Ober in the bullpen as I've been bludgeoned for here recently? I'm not sure, but it's going to be curious to see. I still think Willie Castro has a good chance to make this team as an infielder who can play all over. And this is why you sign guys like that, even though you spent the whole offseason getting Kyle Farmer, Donovan Solano. You have Nick Gordon. You know, it still makes sense to sign a guy like Willie Castro, who has big league experience, was very, very good in 2020, but in a small sample size. You know, just a young guy, so there's still room for him to grow. I think that, you know, he's going to have a chance to still give them some depth if he makes the team. With that said, I don't know. Maybe they go in another direction, one that I haven't thought of yet. But my hope is that that Castro can help them, and hopefully they too can find another way to get a pitcher on the 40 through some maneuvering. I don't know what that looks like. Again, I don't know if they want to run the route with Cantorino of putting him on the 60 to open up that spot or not. So we'll see what happens there. Now, the news that I think is even more important yet was coming out yesterday that Byron Buxton is going to start the season pretty much as the team's exclusive DH. And now I think, you know, we've talked about in depth at times that the writing was on the wall that he was probably going to DH a fair amount when the Twins traded for Michael A. Taylor. Now they've basically come out and said the quiet part out loud that he's going to DH at least to start the season. I don't know what that means. I don't know what that looks like. You know, we'll talk about projections, and those projections, for instance, Zips are kind of my favorite, my go-to, and they have him projected for 90 games. Well, if the projections for 90 games, which have him for a little over 4 wins above replacement, ring true, as he gets more games as a DH, knock on wood, that's what you hope for, you'll have to strip out some of the defensive value in those Zips projections, but at the same time, you get more offensive value. To me, offensive value is a little more stable in the sense that, you know, you see guys who you believe to be good defenders go up and down year to year. Carlos Correa comes to mind from last year. You know, and some of that will come back on limiting the shift and all that too. But I'm curious to see how Buxton at DH changes things and how long it lasts for, because there's going to be no shortage of options at DH if that goes away. Like if they move Buxton back to center, you're going to have Larnick, hopefully a healthy Kirilloff, Jose Miranda from time to time. They're going to have some guys who they can move in and out of that spot. It's not like the days where they had a Nelson Cruz or anything like that, but they're going to have some options. So Byron Buxton at DH. What I want to know is in the comments, or just shoot me a line, are you in favor of him DHing? Because the Twins have tried a lot of different things to try to keep him in the lineup. They got a new trainer. They're going to put him in the DH. He's really only playing the last week of spring training. He's playing a lot of minor league games. They're really exhausting their resources to get 100 games plus of the $100 million guy. So I want to know what you think about that. Okay, so let's talk again about Game Time, because this is a great new sponsor that we've been dealing with. Again, you can get theater tickets, MLB tickets, whatever you want on the Game Time app. So you download the app, create an account, and use the code LOCKEDONMLB, all caps, no spaces, and you can get $20 off your first purchase. And it's not strictly limited to concerts. It's not strictly sports. It's not strictly theater. It's all of those things. So no matter what your interest is, you can find something and get cheap tickets, especially your first purchase, which will be $20 off. That's no joke, guys. So great new sponsor. Check them out. Game Time app. Make an account and enjoy that first event on us. Now let's move into the second segment of the day. We're going to talk a little bit about Zips. We're going to zip it up. And what I want to talk about are the projections that I like. So Zips is a projection system that was created by a friend of mine named Dan Zimborski, housed on Fangraphs. So if you go on Fangraphs and you look up, let's just say Byron Buxton, you're going to see his stats that actually happened. And then underneath him, you'll see all these different projections. You'll see the bat. You'll see what else is there. I know there's been Steamer in the past. Baseball Prospectus does Pacoda, which is a similar idea. And so Zips is the one that I'm more familiar with. And we're just going to kind of run through the fun Zips projections that we have seen. So 10 is a magic number here. That's how many position players they project for the Twins to have with 2+ Fangraphs WAR. Now that list includes Edouard Julien. So to me, you know, we talk about the depth on this starting staff in the sense that it's more a group of solid players as opposed to one standout and a bunch of other players. in some respects, this offense is like that. Now, again, at their best, Carlos Correa, and we'll talk about him in a second, is going to be one of those top-end guys. Byron Buxton, you'd hope, would be one of those top-end guys. But they're not running what my friend used to call stars and scrubs out there. It's stars and depth. So I really think that the way this team is built offensively lends to the fact that I think they can withstand some injuries like they've had already without too much of a drop-off. So 10 position players with 2+ Fangraphs WAR, again, including everyone's favorite Edouard Julien, who could play his way into the team's plans sooner rather than later, depending on what moves they have to make with the 40-man roster. I almost wonder if Julien couldn't be a sneaky addition back onto the opening day roster if they choose to give a 40-man spot to Jeff Hoffman. And so just kind of keep that filed in the back of your mind. Carlos Correa, as we mentioned, 5.9 Fangraphs WAR projected. That's fifth in all of Major League Baseball among position players and second at shortstop behind Trey Turner. So they are big on Carlos Correa this season, and why not? He was solid last year, didn't really get the big hits that everybody would have wanted, but just a great all-around ball player. Great move for the Twins to get him back. I mean, I know it took basically the Price is Right Plinko board for him to fall to the Twins, but at the end of the day, what happened happened, and he's a Twin, and you should be happy about it, right? So, yeah, almost six wins above replacement for Carlos Correa in their projections. Jose Miranda, 3.1 Fangraphs WAR. So they have him slashing 289, 340, 448. So puts you right around a 790-ish OPS if math is not escaping me, which it usually does. But that puts him ninth among first basemen in WAR and 18th among third basemen. So I think it'd be surprising to some people that first base is a little bit of a wasteland. You know, we kind of associate it with being a hitter's position, a powerful position, a strong position. And it became less so with the injury to Rhys Hoskins today. But, you know, I'm big on Jose Miranda. I think, you know, if he doesn't hit 25 homers or 20 homers like some think he will, the doubles are going to be there. He's going to make enough contact to not be a complete black hole, even if he's not getting extra base hits. He's going to take enough walks to be pretty solid too. I think he's the total offensive package and is going to be sneaky good for the Twins this year. And I don't think Twins fans are necessarily missing that concept, but I think he might be a little bit slept on nationally as one of the better corner types in the American League. Christian Vasquez at 2.5 Fangraphs WAR, which puts him, I think, like top 15 among catchers. Plus 14 defensive runs. So the Twins, make no mistake, the Twins targeted the best defensive catcher this offseason. And it doesn't hurt that he can hit a little bit too. He's not a complete black hole back there. But wait, there's more. Ryan Jeffers, 2.3 Fangraphs WAR and 9.7 defensive runs. So that is nearly 5 wins above replacement from the catchers. So Zips also believes that Ryan Jeffers can be a difference maker. We've seen the Twins play mix and match behind the plate with Mitch Garver and Jason Castro. We've seen them play mix and match at other times with players who weren't as good, but they're not afraid to make things happen behind the plate and keep guys fresh. So I'm really eager to see how that plays out with Christian Vasquez and Ryan Jeffers behind the plate, because I don't think Ryan Jeffers is going to be an afterthought. Let's talk about Byron Buxton. 4.1 WAR, but only in 90 games. So 15th among outfielders. Every other player ahead of him has at least 108 games played, and most of them are high 100s. The 108 is Mike Trout. So Mike Trout is a unicorn. If he plays 108 games, he's still probably going to hit 35 homers. He steals some bases and just be an all-around stud. The hope with Buxton, like I said, was if he can nudge up that games played, you may have to adjust down defensively because the defensive value just won't be there at DH. But offensive value, to me, again, is more stable. It's going to be more reliable. And, you know, who knows? Maybe he steals a few more bags, too. I still don't think probably that's going to be much of a thing just because of the injury potential, especially since the initial injury that bothered him last year was sliding into a base at Fenway. So, excuse me. But I think the fact that they could possibly get him into more than 100 games by mixing and matching more at DH should be encouraging that he could maybe meet this projection, if not exceed it. They also have Royce Lewis for 2.3 Fangraphs WAR, but in 84 games. So that's a pretty aggressive return of playing every day after returning in June, if my math is correct. And again, no guarantee there. But yeah, so Zip's very, very bullish on Royce Lewis. Where's he going to play? That's a great question. If Alex Kirilloff's wrist doesn't heal up, it might be at third base with Jose Miranda moving to first. He might DH some. He might play second base if Jorge Polanco's still dealing with some stuff. Who knows? But again, that's the depth that the Twins have that they're going to be able to fall back on. Again, knock on wood, if Lewis can be healthy enough to get into games somewhere around midseason. Let's go over to the pitching side. Five starters with a strikeout per inning or more. So some of these might surprise you. Joe Ryan, who is actually their number one Twins pitcher, which is a little surprising. I love Joe Ryan. I think he's great, but I don't know. It might just be the durability thing. Tyler Malley, Pablo Lopez, Simeon Woods Richardson, and Bailey Ober. Those are the five that they have averaging over a strikeout per inning. These are not your older brothers Twins where 7.0 was kind of the ceiling for strikeouts per nine. They've changed some things up. Again, I know people probably aren't as enthused about this team not having a high-end number one starter like a Justin Verlander, a Jacob deGrom, that sort of thing, but it's strength in numbers. And this next point is actually going to lend more to that. The Twins have, let's see, 8. Eight pitchers in Zip's top 150 in Fangraphs WAR. So we'll just run down the list. Well, like I said, Joe Ryan, 33rd. So even if you consider an ace the top pitcher on any given team, he's still probably in that number two range. Tyler Malley, 47th. So a little further down. Pablo Lopez and Sonny Gray are about even. It says Pablo 62nd, Sonny 64th. Fangraphs doesn't really do ties in their rankings. I think they're both at like 1.8 or 1.9 WAR, which seems low, but it's, you know, projections by definition can seem a little conservative. So if you're not accustomed to that, it might strike you as, oh yeah, they don't think anybody's any good. It's more on the conservative side. Louis Varland, 92nd, which to me, I have an exclamation point next to his name, is surprising. He's a you know, they really like Louis Varland. Chris Paddock, 116th. I'm a little bearish on that one just because I don't think he's going to be healthy enough to give the innings that they seem to indicate. I think it was like 70 or 80 something innings, which to me is just, it's not in the cards. If he comes back in late August, early September, that's icing on the cake. Bailey Ober, 127th. I think Bailey Ober is a sneaky possible value for this team because he's pitched too good to go back to St. Paul, but it's really hard to knock any of these top five guys out of the rotation because even though, you know, Kenta's velocity is not amazing, he's been good enough in the big leagues for long enough. You've got to give him that chance. So Ober at 127, and then Simeon Woods Richardson at 149. So nobody's going to see 149 on a list and think, oh, wow, 149th. But eight guys in the top 150, by definition, top 150 divided by 30 teams, you should have five guys at least. The Twins have eight. So again, strength in numbers, and I think that it's a good indication that their depth should still be fairly strong, even if they deal with some injuries. So now let's talk about FanDuel. You know, we're all watching March Madness. We're all watching MLB spring training coming up here and in the big league regular season games here in about a week. NBA's ramping up, coming down the home stretch. Teams got like 10, 11 games left. A lot of fun stuff. But if you want to get in on the action, you can go to fanduel.com/lockedon and make every moment more. You get a no sweat first bet up to $1,000 in free play. You can do parlays. You can bet on three pointers made. You can bet on all sorts of stuff. It's a whole lot of fun. I highly recommend you check it out. fanduel.com/lockedon. Check out our sponsor and enjoy, because I know you will. If I can enjoy it, so can you, even if I'm really, really bad at it. So, yeah. All right, let's move on into our final segment of the day. This is actually quickly becoming my favorite segment, so I'm hoping we can make it something that continues into the season. We'll see how shows kind of map out. We're still kind of getting the feel for this thing here. And hopefully the video is streaming a little better. I know I've seen your concerns about the video. I'm working towards fixing it. Right now I'm on my iPhone hotspot, and it's actually better than the internet in this hotel, believe it or not. So knock on wood that the video quality will be good enough for you guys to watch this and not get frustrated. So let's get into these questions. Chris Barth wants to know, who is going to have more home runs at the end of the season, Joey Gallo or Jose Miranda? So I had Zips open when I was writing that out, and I looked it up. Zips says 25 for Gallo, 19 for Miranda. What's hard for me is Gallo just doesn't make enough contact to feel comfortable saying he'll hit any number specifically. Like if he just absolutely falls apart and hits 20, then it's like, okay, I see that. But then if he just muscles up and hits 220, which I'm sure 220, considering 220 good for somebody, will probably give a lot of the Boomer Twins fans their veins pop out of their head. But if he can hit 220, he's going to hit 35, 40 home runs. And I just don't see Miranda hitting that number. So I'm going to take Gallo, but not by much, because I'm really, really high on Jose Miranda. But I think Gallo pops 30, 32, and hits probably about 215 with some defensive value. And he's one of those guys, 2+ Fangraphs WAR. I think he was around 2.9 or 3. Again, very good player who the traditionalists might not like because of the batting average and strikeouts, but he's going to provide value for this team. Correa's ankle wants to know, do I think that Kyle Farmer or Ryan Jeffers could hit higher against lefties, somewhere in the 3 to 5 range based on career numbers? Well, what's curious is that Rocco Baldelli comes from that Tampa Bay Rays tree of managing and coaching. And it wasn't uncommon to see Joe Maddon hit like Jeff Kepinger third. And everybody's like, what the heck? This utility guy who never really caught on elsewhere is hitting third. Well, Kepinger mashed lefties. Is Kyle Farmer that kind of guy? I think it's certainly possible. And I think Rocco Baldelli has shown an interest in playing the matchups. Now, with that said, do you want to hit him above, say, Jose Miranda in that spot? No. Do you want to hit him above Max Kepler in that spot? Yeah. Larnick, probably. I think they have enough left-handed hitters that you could probably make the argument for like fifth, but I'm not sure about third or fourth. To me, that's just a one bridge too far to cross for these guys. But again, they're properly, I say insulated. I'm not sure that's the right word. They have the proper amount of depth to feel good about facing lefties and righties on a given day. Jordan Porter wants to know, who is going to have a big season that nobody's talking about? So my initial inclination was Jose Miranda, but I think that one's a little too obvious. So I would say Trevor Larnick, and it's not just because he went 4-for-4 in yesterday's game. Although if Larnick is too obvious, then I'm going to go Griffin Jacks, just because I'm buying into the spike and stuff, high 90s, good off-speed, breaking stuff, all that jazz that comes with the off-season hype machine that we're driving right now. I think Griffin Jacks is going to have a phenomenal season and is going to be a part of a big three at the back of this bullpen with, I keep saying Felipe Lopez, Jorge Lopez and Juan Duran. And then from there, Jorge Alcala could be good. Caleb Thielbar could be good. I think his bullpen has a chance to be fairly solid. And I think Griffin Jacks is going to be at the forefront of that. Now I'm going to give Tim Smith some love here because he asked yesterday, and we didn't get a show yesterday because the internet was so bad here. If it came down to it, Tyler White or Willy Castro, now with White going back to minor league camp, we know that if this happens, it would be Castro. But, you know, I think it's hard to argue that there were moments where White at least looked like he could be a helping hand on this team. And first base isn't exactly where the Twins are locked in at this point. Not locked on, but locked in. So I understand the spirit of the question. At the same time, I think, you know, Willy Castro just is a little more geared towards what they're trying to do in terms of versatility. He's a little on the younger side. He's played a little more. I guess that falls back on versatility, but he's even played some outfield, not particularly well, as I actually saw video of someone hitting a double over him at Target Field last year. But yeah, I think it's Willy Castro if it comes down to it. Now it just comes down to if it's Castro versus those relievers kind of jockeying for a position, or if the Twins will make another spot on the 40. Joe Green wants to know how the Wolves will be with Carl Anthony Towns back. I'm still here, man. The West is wide open. the Wolves are chasing a few teams, but they've played Denver fairly well this year. And otherwise, the really strong teams, the Mavericks, the Suns, all those teams are, they've been all right. They've been good. They've dealt with some injuries. They've dealt with some issues all season long. There are some pretty good teams in the NBA this season that are right around 500, just like the Wolves are. And so I still like the Wolves, but this isn't Locked On Wolves. That's our sister show. Feel free to check that out. I'm not going to try to step on their toes. Devin wants to know, could Kyle Farmer or Nick Gordon possibly be very valuable due to injuries? I think that's a very obvious yes. And again, they went with depth in the rotation, depth in the on the offensive side. And versatility and depth are kind of like cousins, because you can have a lot of depth, but versatility means you have depth without having to go, you know, 15 to 18 deep position player-wise, because you're protected. If Jorge Polanco's injured, Farmer, Solano, Gordon. If Correa's injured, Farmer, Gordon. You know, and again, you don't have to have three guys at each position that are three different guys. You can just kind of mix and match. And I think that's the hallmark of good teams. We've seen it with the Rays. We've seen it with the Dodgers. Teams that are year in, year out, solid, have depth across the diamond. Farmer, Gordon, Solano, maybe Willie Castro are all going to be a key part of that this season. And finally, Josiah Waldner is wondering if this is the year Trevor Larnach finally shows out. And I think the answer is yes, because the writing is on the wall that Alex Kirilov's wrist is going to be hard to trust. So Larnach is going to get a shot in the outfield. He's going to get a shot at DH. And there's more opportunities for him with Kirilov out of the picture. We've talked about those two guys on various platforms ever since they've both been in the organization. Preferences have ranged from one to the other based on whatever prospect outlet you'd look at. You know, one Keith Law might like this guy, Fangraphs might like this guy. At the end of the day, the one who stays healthy is going to be king of the mountain. And I think right now that seems to be Trevor Larnach. I love the pop, gap to gap. He can go the other way if he has to with power. And the defense was a pleasant surprise last year. They're not going to ask him to do a ton defensively with Taylor, Buxton, Kepler, Gallo out there. Just hit the ball, catch the ball when it's hit to you, and the rest will take care of itself. You know, maybe Gallo comes in and plays him first, so Larnach's in left. We'll see what happens, but I am big on Trevor Larnach this year. So to wrap up, our question for the road, and actually our friend Brandon V actually asked this as well, was what injury are you more concerned about moving forward, Alex Kirilov or Jorge Polanco? You know, with Polanco, it's lingering from last year too. He's got to move around as an infielder. He's dealt with lower body injuries for much of his career, at least recently. He's a little on the older side compared to Kirilov, whereas with Kirilov, wrists just suck, man. I mean, wrists are bad, and it's a wrist that's bothered him for a long, long time. So the unfortunate thing is that it's not two minor issues that we're comparing here. It's two that could really linger, could really be problematic for these guys, and in turn for the Twins. So I want to know in the chat, do you think you're more concerned about Jorge Polanco's injury or Alex Kirilov's? Now, with that said, we're about to wrap here. It's been Locked On Twins for March 23rd. I want to thank you for hanging out and remind you to follow me on Twitter at @Brandon_WARNE, Locked On Min, MIN, single N, and at Locked On Twins, as well as give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or iTunes if you listen there. Give us a thumbs up and a subscribe on YouTube. Wherever you're listening or watching, we'd love to hear from you, both thumbs up, subscriptions, whatever. We're more than happy to hear you and interact with you. Excuse me. And yeah, thank you so much for making Locked On Twins part of your daily routine, and hopefully daily moving forward as I have better internet connections. So this is Brandon Warren signing off, saying thank you so much. And don't forget to stop by tomorrow to Locked On Twins, your team every day.